You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. She's the founder and president of the Ruth Institute and is the author most recently of Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. Well, the marriage debate is back in full. Just a few weeks ago, we saw the oral arguments before the California Supreme Court on the legality of last year's ballot initiative declaring same-sex marriage in that state unconstitutional. Now, in more recent days, Vermont is going through the legislative process to try and legalize gay marriage. And we've also seen the beginnings of an assault on the Defense of Marriage Act from the likes of Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank and New York Senator Chuck Schumer. And Dr. Morse, it's great to have you with us again.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Well, the Defense of Marriage Act was passed in the mid-90s. At the time, it wasn't very controversial at all. It passed by wide margins in the House and Senate. Bill Clinton put up no fuss, really, in signing it into law. But now we've already established, we had you on the show a couple months ago to point out that Barack Obama, the new president, wants to repeal that law. Now we see Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, say that he would like to legalize gay marriage as well. And Barney Frank, the openly gay member of the Congress from Massachusetts, believes that it'll happen if, in fact, there is enough voices on the Supreme Court to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act. What do you make of this effort to go after DOMA right now?
Well, I think it's striking that Barney Frank has the temerity to basically call a sitting justice of the Supreme Court by a mean name. You know, he calls Scalia a homophobe, and that really shows how bold these people are, that they think they can talk to somebody like that and talk about somebody like that with this kind of, you know, really quite outrageous display of disrespect toward a sitting member of the Supreme Court. And really, the premise of the whole thrust for same-sex marriage is that there's no reason to oppose same-sex marriage, and anybody who opposes it is simply bigoted or irrational or hates gay people. There's no possible rational reason, and that's what they're saying implicitly and explicitly. The striking thing is that when people do make arguments saying there's something wrong with same-sex marriage, there are reasons to oppose it, they simply refuse to respond to the reasons. And that's what we saw in California, and I think that's what you're seeing here.
Describe the California debate for those who weren't there to watch it play out over the airwaves month after month towards the end of 2008. What were the main arguments that those in favor of gay marriage weren't able to respond to, or at least respond to effectively?
Well, you know, look, let me remind all of your listeners that Proposition 8 won, okay, that same-sex marriage was defeated by the will of the people of the state of California. Not some big red state, but the bluest of all blue states voted in favor of traditional conjugal man-woman marriage. And the reason they did it, there were several arguments out there. One was a concern that the marriage statute combined with anti-discrimination statutes would mean that the state would become an instrument of gay people who want to sue churches because they haven't been treated the way they want to be treated. So if you have a church that's putting on a couples retreat weekend for married couples, and you say no to a gay couple, you can't come because this is really for opposite sex couples, really we're going to be spending all our time talking about gender differences, this really wouldn't be for you, you could be sued for doing that. So that was one of the concerns that people had, was the assault on religious liberty. Secondly, people were concerned about what was going to be taught in the schools and how this was going to, at what age and what kind of material was going to be presented to small children. And then finally, there was the larger argument of what is marriage all about anyhow? Is marriage something that concerns adults, or is marriage an institution that has to do with bringing forth and rearing of children? And the proponents of traditional marriage made those arguments, and the response that we got consistently was that, look, we have to have same-sex marriage because it's not fair to have only opposite-sex marriage, and you're being mean to us and hurting our feelings. That's really all the arguments that they had, is that you're not being fair. And what you're seeing playing out here is a complete refusal to engage the very real concerns that people have about what it would mean to redefine marriage, and simply keep harping again and again and again on the supposed civil rights issue presented by traditional marriage. That's what's happening here. And the fact that the people in California, that the advocates of same-sex marriage took Prop 8 to court after the election, it proves one thing and one thing only, that they have given up even the pretense of arguing the case on the merits of the case. All they have to say is that this is unfair and you're being mean to us. They're not even pretending to engage those other arguments anymore, and that, I think, is the most striking thing of all.
And then in terms of Vermont, as I mentioned a little while ago, one of the big criticisms of the same-sex marriage movement is that they've always had to go through the courts, judicial activism, the will of the people not being heard. Vermont is doing this through the legislative process. It's obviously one of the most liberal states in the nation. What does it suggest, then, if, in fact, this manages to succeed through the legislative system?
Well, that would be something new, that's for sure. But I think your listeners should be aware that the gay lobby has specifically singled out New England to try to get same-sex marriage enacted one way or the other throughout all of the states in New England, and they're calling it the 6x12 initiative, that they want to have six states that have same-sex marriage by 2012. And they are doing a full court press out there to try to make something happen in each of the states, and this is the route that they've chosen in Vermont. So I would really encourage your listeners to go to the National Organization for Marriage website and take a look at what's going on there, and you can see the various ways that you can get involved in and help our beleaguered friends in the New England states.
And then, of course, the more states that legalize it, then if those folks move, they'll try to challenge it in states that don't permit it. What's your sense, legally speaking, of the situation with DOMA? Will it survive a challenge all the way to the Supreme Court?
I'm not very good on prognosticating what the Supreme Courts are going to do, what the justices are going to do, but I can tell you that if DOMA is stricken down, whether it's repealed, it could simply be repealed by Congress. They probably would have the votes to do that. They could repeal it, or they could try to overturn it in the court. But in any case, one of the things it would mean is exactly what you just said, that it would become much easier for a marriage that was enacted in one state to go to another state and demand full faith and credit and full recognition in that other state. It would make it much easier to do that, and that's one of the reasons to be concerned. The other thing that striking down DOMA would do is it would mean that same-sex couples in Massachusetts and Connecticut would immediately be entitled to all the federal benefits associated with marriage.
Dr. Morris, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Moore, she's the founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She's also the author of Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. This is Dateline Washington.